Hello, this is John Galloway.
And this is Jesse Liberty.
And this is the Full Stack Videocast, a pair programming experiment where we build out a full working application spanning from server to web and phone and everything else in between, while you watch.
John Galloway and I talked with John Papa about MVVM and programming a Windows Phone application. For the purposes of this discussion, we used a hypothetical note-taker application and spoke with John about how we would design the Windows Phone application and how it would interact with a back-end ASP.NET MVC application. So to get started, so John Papa, maybe you could start us with, you know, given that, what's the first thing that we want to start doing? Do we want to open up Visual Studio here and create a new project and take notes in code, or how do we want to do this?
I think a great place to start would be Visual Studio and or Blend to kind of get things going. The way I like to start projects out is to start mapping out what the UI would be. So it's really your choice of tooling.
Well,
we probably want to mock up a set of views that we're going to put together so mm-hmm. we get the flow down.
Okay.
Now, Jesse, I notice you've got a Windows Phone application as opposed to the MVVM Lite WP7.1.
That would be because I'm making a mistake. And what we want is the MVVM Lite WP7.1 application.
Now, let me interject for a second there. I am a huge MVVM Lite advocate. But in the same sense, when you use this particular project template to start off MVVM Lite instead of using the Windows Phone one, might be good to kind of point out what you're getting. Because to be honest with you, although I use MVVM Lite for everything, I don't actually use this template.
And you don't use the template because you wire up the stuff you want yourself.
Yeah, there's some things I use that MVVM Lite has, and there's some things I don't. So I just find it just as easy to start my own project. And quite frankly, I find people sometimes can get confused when you use alternate templates.
Okay, so let's do what you're saying, because I'd be fascinated in how you wire everything up if you don't use the template. The template gives you the view model locator, but I know, John Papa, you don't use their view model locator anyway.
Well, why don't we do a hybrid of what we're talking about? Why don't we start with the template you're saying, the MVVM Lite one, and then I'll kind of show you where I swap things in and out.
Okay, fair enough.
Because at least then, I think the one thing the template also gives you, which is advantageous, correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't it also plug in the live snippets or whatever you call those
things? It does.
Well, what are they
code
called,
snippets.
Code snippets.
Yep.
Well, I'm confusing live templates and code snippets together, I think.
Right. Laurent, the author of MVVM Lite, created a number of code snippets to make it somewhat easier to create new pages.
Yes, he did. And he's a good friend of all of ours, obviously, and he's done a good job with MVVM Lite. What I like about it is it doesn't make MVVM intrusive.
All right, so you would prefer to open this in Blend as well and do our initial design there?
Yeah, I think we should do our UI design quickly in Blend and see where it goes. The first place I usually go, honestly, is I take a piece of scrap paper and a pencil and I draw things out, but Blend will do just nicely for this application. And I think we're all kind of asking you, Jesse.
I think we want a list of notes and then we want a note detail screen, sure. That makes sense. Now, on the list of notes, are we going to do that with a list box or with a grid?
I would suggest using the items controller or the list box. For simplicity, I'd probably use the list box because it gives you those extra features to allow to select an item. You can get away with it with the items control, but I think list box is fine. Now, the first thing that I think most people would say is let's right-click that list box in the designer and make it expand and take up all the space.
Yep. All right. Let's give the list box a name. And it's set to stretch, no margin, and auto.
Now, why did you give it a name, seriously?
I gave it a name because I assume that we're going to be addressing this in code at some point.
We could be. Depends upon if we're going to use data binding entirely. And if we do, we won't need to. Mm-hmm. And did you name it, by the way?
I named it Notes List. But I haven't
made
a tab out of it yet. And I also gave it a name that I can refer to it in this. I must have had a good reason, John. I'm sure I had a good reason. Go ahead, John Galloway.
Well, I think, John, one thing that you're maybe pointing out there is that if you're using MVVM, you're binding from your UI is binding to the view model, so the actual names of the elements is not as important.
Exactly. Although in the same sense, I kind of like naming important panels. Because if you notice over in the objects and timelines, this works in Visual Studio as well, you can see it's this notes list under the content grid. It makes it obvious in which list box it is, as opposed to sometimes you'll end up with like 7 grids or maybe 20 grids. You have no idea what you're looking at over there.
Hello, nested tables.
Yes. HTML tables are dead, right?
Long live the tables. Okay, so we have the basic UI for this page, which is it's going to be a list of the notes.
And we haven't given it a title or anything, but we're going to use binding to take care of all that.
So now we just created this in mainpage.xaml, which is fine. We can later create another page if we want to make another page be the first page, but this is not called notes list page, for example.
Right.
But what we do want is a detail notes detail page.
Yeah, we should do that. And before we do that, would you mind quickly just so we can, because we started this conversation of what does NVVM Lite project template give you, can we just scroll through real quick and point out the things that are slightly different than what you get in the standard Windows Phone project template?
Absolutely. So one thing is that in the title panel, you can see that the application title and page title have a binding for their text already in place, binding to application title, binding to page name. And you'll see at the top that the context is set. Here it is, data context equal binding main. And
which is going to be the name of a view model called main, right?
Right. It's going to, yes, it's going to extract the full name based from that prefix of main. And it's the object that's going to do that work is going to be the locator object, which is identified under the static resource of locator. And if we go and find the static resource of locator, which is not here, but I believe is in AppXaml, we'd probably be better off saving this and going over to Visual Studio to have this part of the conversation.
And the one thing I could point out for people, too, who have multiple monitors, since our screencast doesn't, you can actually right-click, or you can go up in the file and say open up in Visual Studio, which is kind of nice if you don't have Visual Studio open.
Yes. So if I go back to Visual Studio and go to, is it under app.xaml.cs? I believe it is where the resource for the locator is.
It's in the XAML, of course,
not in the CS. And as soon as this settles down, we can flip the window and make it full size. And so here's the view model locator. The key is locator. And that is in the namespace notetaker.viewmodel. And we can find that over here under view model. And here's the view model locator itself that has the code that does the wiring up between the view model and the view. And so it takes main here as matching up with what it had in that XAML.
Yeah, and this is the point where, and we'll get into kind of how I changed the view model locator a little bit in a bit, but basically the key things that you mentioned are we've got an instance of main view model called main, as you pointed out. And the second thing, which is kind of nice too, is in AppXaml, he not only defines a locator, but he also identifies it as a data source, which basically just helps the design.
I'm curious with this if I haven't used NVVM Lite much, and I'm curious if there's a way to do this convention-based so you don't have to go through and say this view model maps to this view model maps to this view, because a lot of the time, if you've got notes list view, it's going to have notes list view model.
There are ways. I know like there's a tool, a good buddy of ours will be happy, Rob Eisenberg, that I mentioned, Caliburn Micro, which basically uses that convention.
Right. Okay. So I didn't come up with that on my own.
No. Right,
when he talks about Caliburn Micro, he talks about convention over configuration for throughout the whole product.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's how that works. And you know, it's not. It's basically just a suggestion in this case where I actually name mine main view model. And I actually named the instance with a VM abbreviation after it just so I can identify them, just because I like to. But my view model locator is significantly shorter in code, the version that I use. And part of it, it's not that it's better, it's that it's I find I don't need a lot of the cleanup and the creates and the statics and all that stuff that the template gives you.
Okay, for the moment, let's use this just not because I think it's better, but because I really want to get into the meat of the design.
Yep. And of course, you've got main view model, which Justin is an InstaV view model. I think it inherits from view model base class that Laurent gives you in MVVM Lite. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So we got a basic view model, and it's got some properties that'll automatically be bound. And this is where we could stick in. So MVVM Lite, we would stick in note taker list view, or whatever you want to show up on that page. Yeah. So our page name is our notes page, and our application title is whatever Jesse's going to call it.
I have no idea what we're going to call it, but let's call it note taker for now.
Okay, so that's the basic outline of it. I just thought it was valuable to go through and show by using that template. It added the main, it added the view model locator, it hooked it up in AppXAML, it references the MVVM Lite DLLs for you too, I believe.
Yep.
And it adds some bindings to the new pages you create.
So let's go ahead and create a second page for the details, which, John, you want to do that in Blend, right? So we're going to go to Hello. That's good. We're going to go to, John, we're going to go to File, New Item, right? All
yes.
Right. And within this, we want a view. We want a phone. How come I only see SL here and not, do I not have it installed properly for Blend? I'm not seeing.
I don't use the toolkit for this, so I don't
okay.
know.
Okay, let's make life easy and go over to
Visual Studio.
Because there,
let's do that.
I know I can do that.
And yeah, we'll just spin it. We made one in Blend. Let's do one in Visual Studio.
Just, there we go. Okay, so.
Let me get Laurent on the phone. We can make fun of him for not doing it right.
Oh, excellent. Then we're gonna get cards and letters about that comment for sure. Okay, add new item. And we're going to call this one a view. We're going to call this one note details view.
Sweet.
Okay.
Hey, you chose the WPF one.
No, I didn't.
Just kidding.
Okay. All right. The next thing we want to do is we want to tell it that we want a view model to go behind this. Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah, and let's expand the view model folder just so folks can see that what we've got in there. So we would expect another view model to be there called Note Details View Model.
Okay, so we're going to say WP74 ViewModel. Where's ViewModel?
It's the second one on the list in the top.
And then we're going to call this Note Detail View Model. Details.
Just for consistency. Details, yeah.
View Model. Absolutely. Want them to match. Okay. And while we're in the middle of this, we should wire one to the other by going into View Model Locator. And that's going to tell you in here what you need to do. I believe that he has it as a comment in here. On.
I think he's got pretty much everything as a comment in there. I think I see a bit of Shakespeare.
Don't make me laugh. All right. Do you remember offhand what the code snippet is, or do you see it?
I don't use this code snippet. And again, my
here we are. MVVM locator property. That's what we want.
Wow.
Okay. So we go in here, and just below the constructor, we say MVVM, and notice that IntelliSense even knows about it, locator property. And when I hit tab, it expands it out. And we call this note details view model. And then we call this tab underbar note details view model, and then we have one more to do. And then it's all wired up. However, what it does is it creates a cleanup that says clear notes detail view model, and you'll notice that main has a cleanup as well, and you can't have two of those because if I try to build this, it'll say don't do that. So we're going to paste that in there and go get rid of this one.
Good catch. Also, just for aesthetics, I think you misspelled note details view model.
So that wouldn't be aesthetics. That would be it's not going to work.
Yeah, the underbar variable.
Note details. I never. Okay.
And the reason we did that, just quickly to reiterate, is this view model is the one that's going to be bound. So now we've got a property that's going to be bound directly to that view. We need to go back to that view now and make sure that that's the name that we use inside the XAML. So look inside the XAML. Should we call it note details?
It's not going to, though, because it put binding for main. It just goes to the default. So we need here to come in and change it.
Yeah. Yep, you're right. It used the default, which is main. Which in some ways is good because it binds to something, and the other ways it's bad because it doesn't give you an error of any
kind.
And main view model has one of those, right? Has those properties?
Yes, I believe so. If I go to main view model, it does have those properties. We could just grab them.
We could copy and paste.
Don't tell anybody that we did that. Let's see. So that's going to be in node details view model.cs. This is the constructor, and we can put them here, and we'll call this one details.
Yep. And for those who want to type the properties, what is it, MBVM INPC?
Yep.
Is that the name of the?
Yeah, right here. MBVM INPC. Insert property. Now,
if you flip over to Blend, if you save and flip over to Blend, those words should show up inside the Visual Designer.
Oh.
That's how you test if this works. So Blend reloads.
There you go.
Notes and to the main page.
Let's go to note details view.
It's really big.
Is it rebuilt?
Shouldn't be necessary. I would have expected that to work. Huh. But you did need to rebuild. There you go. And so we see details as binding properly.
Great. So we know we're binding, or view models are wired up, and we have just wired up MBVM, and we're done.
Okay. Now,
good talking to you, John.
Before you go,
yeah,
John.
Thanks.
If we want...
Submit your app now.
There you go. If we want to move from in the list box, if the user clicks on a note in the list box, and we want to go to the details for that page... If we did it in the code behind, we'd say navigationService.navigate, and then we'd put in the URI for the details page, and then a question mark, and then whatever identifying ID. We would do that on the unnavigated, I'm sorry, we would do that on the click handler, and then in the details page, we would have in the unnavigated from, we'd pick up what was in that ID and display the detail. So what's the rough equivalent in MBVM?
Well, first thing I want to say is there's nothing wrong with using code behinds with MBVM combination mixture. So if you wanted to go that route, that's still perfectly fine. But I think the reason you're asking this is a lot of people say, you know, all your logic, and I'm one of them, should probably go in the view model.
So what you're telling me is it's fine if I want to do it that way, but you'll laugh at me.
I'll laugh at you anyway, you know that. So, yeah, it really is fine. I mean, as Laurent and I like to say, the MVVM police are not going to come and chase you. The way to kind of do this would be, basically we're saying in code terms, when the selected item has been changed, you can either do it on that event or like on a click of something, you want to fire off some kind of a method in your view model to say, go ahead and navigate to the details view.
Yes.
So... the first thing you could do, it depends on how you want to do this. You can either go to the view model and write that navigation code, which I'm a coder. Maybe that's the first place to start.
Well, but the view model doesn't have access to the navigation service, does it?
It certainly can, because the navigation service is just a class.
It's an app property, right?
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So you could do that in the code behind, or you could use a behavior, right?
Yeah, we could use behavior. So basically, we'd have to use behavior in this case because commanding doesn't work for list box items. So we'd have to drag a behavior from assets over onto the list box. And we could start with that.
Sure,
if
let's
you want,
take, let's,
but
let,
I would,
go ahead.
I would start with the code only because I know where the end of the story wants to be.
Okay.
And if we start with the behavior, you're going to drag the behavior into the list box, and then you're going to try to bind it to something that doesn't exist
yes.
yet. So let's go create the method in the view model first.
Okay, so we want to go back to Visual Studio.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and I'm in the note details view. Now, did you want to be in the view model for the note details or for the note list?
For the note list. Trying to keep our name straight.
Okay, the note list is in fact, bizarrely, mainpage.xaml, and therefore the view model is mainviewmodel.cs.
Yes, which we'll fix at some point.
Okay. So here we are in the code behind for that.
So theoretically, you'd have some kind of a method in here, or a property more likely, right?
Well, tell us, what are you thinking is the goal of this? This is, what are we doing with this property or method?
Well, we're using this to do two things. We want to capture the event. So when we're going to handle the event of somebody selecting an item from the notes
yep.
list. And then we're going to grab information that's probably been bound to that view model already. And then pass that along to the navigation service so it opens up the note details.
So is this do you think it's a property or a method?
Which would you like, Jesse?
Well, if what it's going to do, if I understand what you're saying, is that when the person clicks on a particular entry in the list, it's going to come to this part of the view model and say, and essentially be an event handler.
Yes. And what I would make this would be a command. Long dramatic pause.
Well, tell me more about what you mean you'd make it a command.
Okay. So MVVM, we can bind commands to in view models from the screen, from the view.
Okay.
So one of the things that MVVM-like gives you is the relay command. It's basically an implementation of iCommand. So what I would do is create a property right on the top of view model called like public relay command of type whatever you're actually going to be passing. In this case, it could be any type of command you want. And then give it a name.
So what goes in the relay command type? Give me an example.
So the relay command, basically, that's going to be the type of the command parameter. So if you want to pass something with the command, you can do that. We don't have to pass anything. So you can just create a relay command with no generic. That would work fine, too.
But in this case, if we want to pass which item was selected, would that be what we would pass in here?
We don't have to do it that way. So if you wanted to pass an entire object, that's one way to do it. In our particular case, we can actually get the parameter right from a binding on the view model.
Okay.
So we want to know which note was selected. We can also just bind the selected item from the list box onto a property called like selected note.
Let's do that.
So we're talking about two properties now. One is a relay command for the command, and another one is going to be just like a public. We don't have a model for note yet, but we'll probably have a note model.
Yes. So in that case, we could have done relay command of note, or we could just do relay command and then have a second property, which is the selected note.
Correct.
Okay. So what do we say here? This is a property, and what the point of this property is to receive the event behavior.
Yep. It's going to be a public property that's going to be bound up. So this would probably be like navigate to details command. And I just always put net command at the end of it just so I know what they are. And then I give it I actually define that with a public getter and a private setter right there. Yep,
so,
and that's it. So it's a one-liner. Yep.
So it's, some of the advantages here, one is with commanding, it's abstracted away, so you can have maybe multiple things call, as opposed to, you know, events and you have them all hooking through and here you can bind to it, as you were saying, and then also with commanding, it's reusable, so multiple things can bind to that one command. Would you say those are some of the main advantages?
Yeah, those are some of them, and you can also get with a command, you also have the option with an overloaded parameter to do a can execute delegate,
right.
Which allows you to enable or disable who can, like the visual states of the buttons or things based upon whether this is a good condition to execute the command.
Now, we made this property navigate to details command. Would we, if we ended up with navigate to foo and navigate to bar commands, would we want to factor that into a more generic relay command that gets the page as a parameter?
We could. What I would do is I'm kind of a refactor as you go kind of guy. What I would suggest is people write this stuff, they see where it ends up, and if you find you're writing the same code over and over again like that, then yeah, I would look at encapsulating it to something.
Okay. So we've got the command. We're going to need another property to find out what the current selected item is.
Yep, and there you just maybe use the MVVM INPC thingy, snippet. Great, because that comes with Laurent's little code. Boy, that's lengthy.
So the first thing it wants to know is the name of the property.
This would be like selected note.
And then it wants to know the type of the property.
Which would be note. Or note model, or whatever you want to call it. We don't have one of those yet, so it's going to give me a red line. Oh, undo. There you go.
And this is going to be under bar selected note.
Yes.
And then we're going to say it's null to get started.
Yeah, and I would go through, and I don't know what refactoring tools you have there, but CodeRush or ReSharper will do this for you. I'd actually go create a class called Note right now.
Okay, good. So now we can hit generate class for Note. Yes, that was control dot. And it did create that class. It stuck it in the view model, so we probably want to move it to the model.
You're probably
and then change the namespace. And then
we're on the same page.
In addition to doing that, we need now to save that and go back where we were and put in a using statement at the top for the model.
And this is just, you could start with these things and go, but what I like about this is you're refactoring as you go. You're only adding classes as you need it. So you're following the Yagni principle in the sense of, you're not going to need it. So we're only adding stuff as we need it.
Okay, so we now have, it should now accept note as the type. All right, and then we've got a getter, and then we've got a setter. And if it's already the same value, it returns. Then it sets the old value to selected note to value. And then you need to get rid of one of these.
Yeah, and just to explain it there, what Laurent's doing is he's basically saying the first one, the race change that's got the single parameter, that just uses INPC to tell the viewer that your value has changed. The one below it does the same thing, but in addition, it also fires off one of the messaging classes because you might be using messaging for that as well. For us, I don't think we're going to need the latter, so I would keep the first, the shorter one.
What would be the advantage of using messaging?
And again, topic for a longer day, but basically the messaging is where if I want to communicate from view model to view model, that something changed. And a great example, in this case I wouldn't, but a great example of that might be, like, I wrote a Twitter app, which John was making fun of the name earlier, called TwitFire. And in that application, I have a cache where I store all my tweets. And when that property changes for the cache, when I clear it out, I send off a message, and I want all the other view models to clear their caches of the Twitter tweets, too. So, and that's a case where I would use the latter, the one you're about to delete. So basically, messaging is great for view model to view model communication, and INPC, which is what you've been left with here, is great for view model to view.
You happen to know what INPC stands for?
International name person, no. I notify property change.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's the I notify property change interface.
There you go.
And that's really kind of what makes MVVM possible, isn't it? I mean, it makes the view model observable by a view and allows it to, yep. Okay.
Yeah, it's the crux of all the binding in XAML for WPF, Silverlight, and Windows Phone.
Mm.
Well, okay. Yes, but iNotify property change, I mean, you're going to use that on any view property, whether you're doing this in MVVM or not. What he does behind the scenes is he implements iNotify property changed in the base view model class.
Yes, there's a base view model class, and he implements that. There's basically just a single, I think it's called property changed. It's an event handler that gets wired up. So whenever you call his raise property changed method, it's calling into that base class to say, go ahead and let the view know that that property changed.
Right. What's really nice here is that by using the macro, he has set, for example, the string for the selected node property name, and then he has also put in the raise property change, passing that in, all this kind of cruft that you do again and again to support mm-hmm. iNotify property changed, he's got built into that code snippet.
Yep. Yeah, it's worth a quick side note, too, that some people prefer lambdas instead of the magic, what we call magic strings up
yes.
there. Because you could misspell it in that magic string. And I think his newer versions of NVM Lite actually support lambdas, too.
So you're saying you would use a lambda here instead of this?
It's actually an embedded lambda. That whole line of the constant would disappear inside the raise property change. Instead of passing in the constant string, you pass in a lambda. I forget the exact syntax he has, but it basically passes in the instance of itself. I think it's where it uses reflection.
So it uses reflection to get the name. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so this was great so far, but where we've gotten to is we've gotten to the very basic idea of two views, each with their own view model. And so let's talk just a little bit about how you see the relationship between the view and the view model in this application and what other kinds of objects we would need in order to make this work. Is it simply that we now create the details and the node class and wire things up, or what's the next step?
Well, the next step would be we've defined this command called navigate details command, but we haven't defined what it's going to do. So probably the next thing we need to do is actually go to the constructor of this view model and assign a method to this navigate the details command, or assign a delegate.
Go.
So why don't we jump to the constructor
sure.
and do that.
Of main view model.cs. So that's
correct.
Right here.
Yes.
And what we want to do here is to wire up that command. Where is it? Navigate the details to it.
Yes.
And what are we going to wire that to?
So basically, what we're really doing, and this I don't know if this is the correct way to say it or not, but what we've done is we've created a property, but we really want this to be a method. And the reason we created a property is because binding works on properties, not methods. So the command is a property. So now what we're going to say literally is the name of that command, so go ahead and paste that in if you've copied it, equals a new relay command. So we're basically saying that's a property, it's a new relay command, and then inside the parentheses, this is where we'd stick a name of a either a method that we could fire off, which let's do that for now just to make it easier. Once your circle
yep.
is happy. There you go. So now you could pass in either an action or you could type in like an anonymous delegate. Let's type in just the name go to details, just something like that. Cool. Hit. There you go. Now you want to go generate that go to details because it does not exist yet. This is going to be a method that actually does the work for the navigation
yep.
service.
Now, will this generate it for me, or
just hit control dot? Probably,
it, but it doesn't. There. Now I've got the indication. Okay, control dot. We get it.
So where?
Oh, where did you hide it on me now? Okay, let's just go up here and find it. Go to details. Okay. Great. It generated
a property.
That's
property.
Not what we want.
It's actually not going to be a property. It's going to be a public void. We'll go to details. This means the general method, and we don't need the getter setter at all. We just use open
yep.
parentheses, close parentheses.
Which it's not happy with at the moment. And...
Sweet.
Okay.
I was just filling dead airspace while you
were
there
going. We go. Okay, so we've
basically
yep.
what we've done is we've just tra- translated a method to a property. Does that make sense?
Well, yes. Yes.
And then inside of here is where you'd write the code, the Windows Phone magic to say, navigate from point X to point Y.
Isn't it navigation service.navigate?
Now, that's where you can run into a little bit of an issue. So because we're in the view model, it doesn't have access to the app, to the navigation service directly. What I've done in the past is write this line of code real quick, if you could. Just do variable root frame, or var root frame, equals open parens app.current as app, close parens, dot root frame. So now you've accessed the root frame. Now you can just say root frame dot navigate. And then you can just use pass it a URI.
Now the root frame then is the applications, that's the UI level container that's holding the app. I haven't seen root frame before.
Yeah, it's array, because everything inside of Windows Phone is frame-based. Obviously, for the navigation services, everything relies on it.
Okay.
So main core of the app, you get that root. Now, there's other ways to do this. This, is, to me, was just a simple way to get to the root frame.
Okay.
And the reason you have to do that, as Jesse found out, is when you start typing navigation service, it doesn't know what it is because you're in the view model.
Okay.
So as a great example of this, Jesse might say, well, geez, every time I have to do a go to X, Y, or Z, I'd have to do that root frame line, wouldn't I? Which makes that a great reason to create a class, which you can create a class called like My Navigation Service, which hides all that stuff if you wanted to.
So you would create a class called My Navigation Service, give it a static method, which is navigate to page, pass in the page, and do this work inside that.
Yeah, that's one way you could do it, or you could give it custom methods for, if you had a really involved parameter system to pass a certain page, you could do it that
way,
too.
All right, so.
And I think at this point, the only thing left I would change is your go-to-details method actually should be private.
So it should.
Yes, and the reason for that is if you could bind that go-to-details directly to the view, then you wouldn't need the command.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm. So.
But because you do have. And now you're hiding that private one.
So let's just review for a second. We created this relay command as something to bind to. And then
yes.
Up in the constructor, we said, take that thing that we just created, that relay command, and assign it to a new instance of relay command whose name is GoToDetails.
It's not whose name is, it's that relay
command. I'm sorry, that takes the delegate to GoToDetails.
Right.
And then in GoToDetails, we have the implementation for the navigation.
Which is where you could put other stuff, too, like go grab the selected note.
Right.
Which we'll have to do. Or, does this user have permissions to leave this screen or any other logic?
Okay. Along the way, we created selected note, which will be of type note, but we created that just because we happened to think of it at that time. But it doesn't have anything to do with the, per se, with the navigation relay command.
Correct.
And what we want to use the selected note for is to bind the note that is selected in the onList selection change to this particular property of the view model. And let's just talk briefly about how we would do that, because, again, from a non-MVVM viewpoint, what you would do is you do that in the selection changed event handler in the code behind.
Yeah, that's a great point. So why don't we do this? Let's save it and compile it real quick and then jump over to Blend.
Okay.
So Blend's going to reload, and the reason we're going back to Blend is we're going to try to wire up some of the things that we just coded.
Yep.
Let's go to the main page, which is our notes list.
Yes, indeed.
And the idea is there's two things we want to bind. One is we want to bind the selected item for when you select an item in the list box to that selected note.
Yes.
So you want to walk
yes,
through that?
Please.
Okay, so click on the list box. And you can do that in XAML or over in the objects bar or in the designer, whatever is your favorite pane. And then we want to bind to that. So now we're going to go over to the properties pane. There's two things we can do. One is, first, actually, before we do the property method, let's just show everybody, click on the data tab in the upper right. And you'll see the main view model down below at the bottom. That's what it's bound to. When you open up that triangle, you'll see all the properties. You should see selected note there. So you could then, you want to bind the selected note to the list box. You could drag that onto the list box. That's one way to go. And it says here, do you want to set the data context for the note to the selected note? That's really not what you want in a specific case, so let's just not do that. Drag it off to Oblivion. Thanks. The way I actually like to do it, just to be sure, because what's happening is the data context, it's choosing the property you want to go to. I go back to properties. And then to make everybody's lives easier, go open to the search box and type in selected or parts of that word. There we go. So we want the selected item to be bound. So we click the little the square over there, make it a yellow pimple, data binding. And we select selected note. And if you want, you can choose the drop-down arrow and set the different modes and all that fun stuff. But you've got it exactly the way you need it right here. So the binding is set to selected note. Now, I can't remember. Maybe, Jesse, you can. What's the default mode for a list box selected item binding? One way or two way?
I believe it's one way by default.
Okay. We probably want this to be two-way, don't we?
That would be interesting to have it as two-way. You would be able to go back programmatically and change the selected item?
Uh-huh. You'd be able to programmatically change selected item, and then it would change in the list on the screen.
So in-place edit.
Yep. Kind of, yeah. You don't need it in this case. Again, it might want to follow the Yagni rule. We don't need it yet, so don't add it. But I can never remember what the default is, one way or two way, so I always explicitly set them.
So would you, in order to set that, would you set that here in the XAML, or you'd go back in here and set it in the drop-down?
I'd type it in the XAML because at this point it's just quicker. And that's where I do comma mode equals one way. But you can do that if you want to show people. You can do that in the property sync too. And that's in data binding. On that same page, you hit the little drop-down arrow at the bottom. Yeah. You'll see the one-way or two-way. And then your OK button's off the screen. But there you go. So now we've bound up to selected note, which is awesome. But now we need to bind to that command. So this is where the behavior comes into play. And behaviors are automatically pulled into, well, the MVVM-like behaviors are automatically pulled into the project when you use that MVVM-like toolkit template stuff. So you've got the event to command, which is an MVVM-like one. You can drag that onto the notes list box, either there or the designer, whatever makes you happy. And then over in properties, hit the X on the SELE where you've typed in that filter. And we're going to have to fill in these things. The source name is the list. We're all happy there. The event name is what event do you want it to fire on. We don't want it to happen on left mouse button. We want it to happen on selection change. You can fill in conditions. In this case, we don't really have any. But if you want to open it up, show people what they look like. You could actually add conditions. And then you've got your common properties, which I think you got to hit that down arrow in the middle. Do you want this to be enabled or not? And then miscellaneous, what command do you want to bind to? This is the important one. So now you're going to do data binding on the command, and you're going to want to bind it directly to that command that you created in your view model. And notice how it filters it by only the ones that are matching types. That's it. So now we've both bound the selected note, and once somebody clicks on it, it's going to fire off the command through this behavior.
That's brilliant.
Now, there's another whole rabbit hole, which we don't want to go into, but I'm just curious as next steps on is here we've got everything going, you know, view model, and we've got properties updated in the model. How do you normally go, you know, what's your next step on persisting that information into data, into, you know, database or whatever?
Yeah, I think we've got to talk about that. We also have to talk about we haven't actually created anything to be bound to the notes page yet. So the ironic thing is what we're talking about selecting an item in a list box which has no item source yet. So I'll have to at some point define a list of notes or an observable collection of notes for this page. And then once those list of notes are created, we drive over the details. And then at some point we're going to have to do like John says, you know, are we going to add a note? Is that going to happen on this screen? And if we do, how do we persist that to the database? So I guess, Jesse, this is your project, I think. I'll let you kind of tell me which direction you want to head.
Well, I'm not sure that we want to do more today. I think it's going to be difficult to stay in the model of get something working and keep it working if we don't at least dummy up some data to see that we do have a list. You can click on the list. It takes you to the details. So I would get that. Personally, I would get that working, and then I would go to add note. And when those are working in memory, then I would add the link to SQL code necessary to get that written to a database. I would just use the...
So maybe if I could recommend, maybe the next thing we should do then, if we could do this on the next one, is talk about how do we create that list of notes. Maybe why don't we do some mock data, and we can discuss kind of how the mock data works, how it works great with what Laurent's got in the templates. It'll actually show you data at design time, and it will be a great jumping point for if you ever want to do unit testing, and it'll help you actually map out what your models are going to look like.
Well, that sounds fantastic on two levels. It sounds like the right thing to do next, and it sounds like you just agreed to come back and do another.
And left us with a great cliffhanger, too.
You tricked me into doing that, didn't you? He said one episode. That was it.
Right.
No, I think that'd be good, and the thing I like about doing that next is, now, actually, usually I usually do that first before we do the navigation, only because I like to see data on my screens, because looking at a big blank page is kind of hard sometimes.
All right, so that sounds great. That sounds like the way to go.
Super.
We've got John Papa, and this is Jesse Liberty.
And this is John Galloway.
Microsoft, this is the Full Stack.